Okay, my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach. I was not here last week, and I am wearing flip-flops today, not because I love flip-flops, but because my heels are severely blistered, and I can't put on shoes. I tried to do it earlier, and it was painful. So instead of me hobbling around, I'm just going to preach in flip-flops. So Jesus did, so it's okay. We are in week 6 of a 7-week series called The Essentials, and what we've been doing over the last 6 weeks, by the way, who was here last week? Show of hands. Daniel did an amazing job, I heard. Agreed? Okay. I have heard great things about his message, and Daniel, we love you. I appreciate you. The 6 weeks that we've had here, we've kind of gone through these things, these ideas that we're somewhat aware of, but we miss some of the goodness of them because we live in a southern culture that is baptized or inundated with the culture of Christianity. So we take some of these assumptions and we just, you know, kind of play with them like they're not as important as they are. And so we started off week 1 with this reality that Jesus is either a crazy person or he is God. And we have to fix on one or the other. He cannot be, you know, if he's a crazy person, then we need to put our Bibles down. And if he is God, then we have to listen to him, or we need to listen to him. And week 2, we talked about this idea that not only did he communicate who he was, but he actually did exactly what he said he was going to do, which is to give himself up to the people to be crucified, to die a earthly death, to go into a tomb, and to 3 days later rise from that, and what that means from us. And the 3rd week, we talked about this reality of what salvation is. You know, because a lot of us, we talked about, you know, if you have a conversation with a lot of people that live in this area, being saved means lots of different things. Being saved could mean, I went to church my entire life, and that's what people say that we are, because we are church-going people. Or the reality that we have made a commitment. We've been made aware of our own sin. Out of that awareness, we have sought something bigger than ourselves, and we find Jesus. We realize what he's done for us. We repent of those sins. We allow him to fill us, and then we allow him to move us in faith, and then he regenerates us from the inside out, instead of what religion does, which is behave and you'll be better. And then week 4, we talked about this idea that not only did he do all these great things for us, but when he left, he did not leave us here alone, but he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit that educates us, that influences us, that moves us, that teaches us, that does all the things that we need to do. And then last week, we got a man. I thought he was joking with me first when I was doing starting to do his slides, and he was like, I'm going to recite Psalms 119. Anybody else have Psalms 119 memorized? Not me. Okay. Beautiful. This reality that the word is so powerful to us, and we take it for granted. And in every one of these things, we can literally just take for granted, and we can miss what they're trying to do. And what I wanted to do is kind of follow up on what Daniel did last week of talking about the authority of Scripture and what it can do with us, and then talk about this reality about being connected to the Father. Because we can know all these things. So you could have sat through church for the last 20 years, you could have sat through our last 5 messages and been informed, but it's the connection that drives us. And so the last couple of days I've been kind of thinking about this, and this is not even as we were worshiping, I'm like, this is not the perfect illustration. So there's holes in my illustration that as I was sitting there worshiping going, I'm thinking like, no. So bear with me. I'm going to use this, and we're going to be in John 15. If you want to read along, we're going to do John 15, 1 through 11. And my plan is spend the next 15 minutes with you talking about an idea, convincing you that your best way to your best you is not a book, it's not a phrase, it's the word, it is the life that God gives us. And I want to illustrate that through a toaster. We just got this, a new toaster. It's a high-dollar toaster from Walmart. I think it was about $14. It does lots of things, like you can hit cancel. You can turn up the how burnt you want your bread. Like if you're not careful, depending on what was cooked in here last, you could really burn some bread. And there's bagel. Everybody's got a bagel button, and you need that. And so here's the reality that I want us to go on. And maybe it will hit you, maybe it won't. And I want to demonstrate something with this beautiful wheat bread that I have here. It's not my favorite wheat bread. We were out of that. There's a multigrain that I enjoy a little bit better. It's 6 grams of protein in it. It's real good, right? You know what I'm saying? Okay. And so here's the picture. I just want to be completely honest. I've had a hard week this week. Just have. Like seasonally, I just get overwhelmed with things. And around this season, I get a little like, woe is me. And it just takes me over. And I went to a race last weekend in Columbia, South Carolina with a friend of mine that I've known for the last like 16 years. And he and I did this question and answer series. So we literally sat on the stage and answered different questions. It was great. And I love Jimmy. Jimmy has done a great work. But I leave his great work and go, we suck. Just be honest. I mean, this is what happens with church people when they see other churches that in their vision, they think, oh man, they're doing great things. And in Monday, Tuesday, I just kind of wallowed in that. Just to be honest, anybody ever wallow in their own mess? Okay, then you're at home here. And so, but the problem with is that I can wallow in the mess, and when you get so much mess on you, just feel like it's just too much. I can't get it off, and you just stay there, and you know you don't want to do much. And this reality, and I knew I was going to preach this message on basically disciplines, like how do we connect to the Father? And I'm like, I thought about changing it, but I was like, Lord, you got bigger plans than me. This is what we intended, so here we're just going to go with it. And so here's what I've realized over the last week. God has designed you, made you to be connected to Him. He created us in His image. His intention was us to have life and have life to the full. That's why He sent His Son here. This toaster, as beautiful it is, was designed for a specific thing, to toast. And we can look at this toaster and go, man, it is beautifully made. Black plastic. There's some whatever that metal is. I mean, it looks nice. And we can go, man, it's great. And we can walk around and go, look at my great toaster because it has a good design. We can walk around with us and understand what God has done for us, in us, and through us, and walk around going, look how great I am, until what you've been designed to do doesn't work. And what I'm determined is that it is not God's punishment for me on Monday and Tuesday to wallow in my own mess and go, we're still meeting in a middle school. Why are we in a middle school? Why do we have a place? And, you know, they're getting ready to start a building camp. And there's all these things going on, and they're older than we are, and I've gotten over that. So, you know, I'm okay. Somewhat okay. And so I basically unplugged, and I plugged into something else. Like, I plugged into Grace Life and go, my life and source and happiness could come into this. And when I realized that that's not where it came from, right, I could go over to Alan and be like, man, I really love Alan, and I want to be like Alan, and I want to plug into what Alan is. Not that you're not a good source, but he's not the source. And see, the problem is that when we decide to use this toaster for what it's designed for, like this. Look at this. About to illustrate it right here. The bread feels nice. And so this is our life. When we try to source it some other way, when we walk around in the goodness of our design and we go, hold on, I'm going to give you what God has designed me to give you. In our marriages, we're like, I'm going to be a good husband. I don't know if you noticed this, but it's not doing what it's meant to do. It's just going up and down. We actually threw our other one away because even when it was plugged in, it would not connect to whatever power that needed to happen, and it wouldn't stay down. See, what's intended for this is it for it to be plugged into the power source. This toaster is no good without the correct source. We are no good without the correct source. We are not. The best you is still garbage without the right source. And see, our problem is we're determined to prove to the world how awesome we are by cleaning up our mess, by doing what is necessary, by doing all the right things, by being successful to show how amazing we are. But the same reality is that we aren't the person that we desire. We don't have, I mean, you can have all the money. Like, if you look statistically at the wealthiest people, they have more, suicide is higher. Their depression and all these other things that we think, a lot of us that don't have quite the money that we think we should have, like if we just had this money, no. Because we're trying to plug in to the wrong source. We can spend our entire life being depressed because we're not working. And then we can go to other people and tell them that we're not working. Like I just did. I told you I wasn't working Monday or Tuesday. I just was wallowing in my own stew. And we could have a support club because someone else could walk up to me and go, I got the same problem. And we could try to fix it. We could try to give this plug to all different types of things. Our work doesn't work. Our bank account. Our spouses. Or we could literally do what we've been designed to do. And here's the beauty of the scripture that I am going to briefly cover today. The beauty of this toaster, it is exactly what it was a second ago. Hopefully I don't burn anything. This might be our last Sunday in the school. The beauty of the toaster is that now it is functioning as it's designed. Not because anything about the toaster has changed. The engineering of the toaster has not changed. The design, the function of the toaster has not changed other than its, I'm going to use a word that's in the text, other than its abiding in the vine. You can wallow in your own mess all you want and never get out of it. Or you can come to the realization that what God has for you, He'll do. What God has for you, the plan He has for you, He actually calls us His workmanship that He created. And all these good things that we're to walk into, He's designed for us to walk into. He's made you to be exactly what you're supposed to be. And your joy and your peace and your fulfillment is going to come from one place. And we can either walk around with the reality that we don't work, but we should. Because in our brains, we know that it should work out. It should be easier than it is. And I've come to the realization that every time I get in this place, it is always a reflection of my connection. That sounded like it rhymed. Didn't intend that. But literally, it is always here. Every time I'm wallowing in my own stuff, it's because this has gotten unplugged. Because if I was plugged in here, and I was getting the reality, I was feeling who God really is. I was abiding in His Word. Like, almost the entirety of Psalms 119 is this joy of coming back to what God has created for us. And so what I want to do is I just want to walk you through 11 verses. And we're going to end here in a few minutes. And then we're going to end with, look at the, I almost brought some butter. That's beautiful. Here you go, buddy. See? When we're plugged in, it doesn't just benefit us, it benefits others. I didn't even intend that one. Bam! Let's go home. Let's go home. We're done. I almost fell over a minute ago, so I don't want to drop the mic. Okay, so This might have been a dumb idea. If,
I'll share it. I just got to get this.
Here you go, buddy. Okay. And so if you've got your words, we're going to delve into a section of scripture that you've probably read, you've heard pieces of it. And I just want us to come to the realization that there is only one way that we're going to be what we've intended to. And so this is going to teach us that. Let me pray before we read his word. Dear Heavenly Father, for all of us walking around unplugged, wallowing in our own mess and creating our own mess, Lord, you're the Father that pursues us in our mess. You're the Father that desires connection. And the only thing that you've asked for us to do is to abide, which just means to stay in this one place of connection. It's not make yourself holy. It's not anything else. And Lord, I just pray that the reality of your word would hit us today, Lord, that we would realize our desire and our need for your connection. And Lord, that you would not shame us, you wouldn't shame us, but not allow ourselves to shame ourselves for the position we're in, but to realize that, Lord, you graft in children that weren't even yours to your vine. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given your Holy Spirit in us to move us, to redesign our heart, to replace this old way of thinking for the goodness, Lord, that you give us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that you would open our ears, and you would allow our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've got your Bibles, John 15, starting in verse 1, I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. The one is, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. See, the thing that you need to realize here is the two work together, but our flow is, our connection is directly through the Son. Two, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So let's deal with the reality. Because sometimes things stir us that move us past. The beauty of pruning is that it's painful. I'm not, like, if you came to our house, you'd realize that I do not have a green thumb. I went through this bonsai stage. Daniel remembers that back in the day. I thought it was going to like help me get into my place of planting this church, and I just wanted to mold these trees, and I killed every one of them. Actually, there's one. Chris and Eileen, my in-laws, they still have one that has survived. See, I, like an idiot, wanted the tree to look like I wanted it to look from the beginning. And then I read after I had pruned about 90% of it and repotted it, that's not a good idea. That taking over 50% of the foliage away from any plant is like a death sentence. I'm not the vine dresser. The Father is. And the Father is seeing things in us that he will prune. So the beauty of the pain of the pruning is that it has a purpose. Every bit of our pain that we experience, even my Monday and Tuesday, is to move me in a place of God going, see, son, you're constantly trying to plug into the approval of others. You're constantly trying to plug in to something that's not me. And that pruning is removing that thing. Because I could stay in that reality, be filled by that reality, like I'm amazing because I'm doing great things and look at me, instead of I'm amazing because I am a child of the living God. See, he doesn't remove, he prunes to make us more fruitful. Three, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. See, notice that the Father and the Son have done all the work necessary for us to be connected to the vine. Our only job is to remain and abide. Verse 4, it says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me." Same thing. I didn't have the heart to kill a tree or any other living thing and take a vine off and go, look, this is going to die. But this is the reality. If I remove, I have a box rose, knockout rose bush in my side yard on that house. It lives, not because of me, but I cut it all the way back at the end of this year because it was getting huge and I was certain that I had killed it. And you know what? It grew. And those, for whatever reason, not me again, it grew and produced. I mean, this thing, when it's blooming, it has so many beautiful red roses right outside of our window in our living room. If I were to cut, which I did, and I kept those clippings because I haven't burned them. They're sitting in the back corner of my house. If I went into the back corner of my backyard where all of the clippings that I had cut it all off, I don't go back there expecting to see beautiful flowers. I go back there to see exactly what I thought I would see, which is a dead branch. And we all understand that. We understand that, but we still willingly decide to remove our plug from the Father, from the goodness that He has created us in, from the Word that He has spoken our identity into, and we allow others to speak to us. In verse 5, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Not a scholar. But usually all and nothing usually mean in the original text all or nothing. There will be nothing that you produce in your life that has any eternal significance that's not connected to the Father. There is no fruit. Like in our best fruit, like we go, we can do this. I can be the husband that God has designed me to be without connecting to Him. Be the father, be the employee, be the neighbor. The fruit that we do see is not fruit that's going to do any lasting thing. And so we are fruitless without our connection to the vine. So what does our fruit look like? And here in Galatians, which isn't going to be up there, I'm just going to read it for you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law." So the fruit is these things. So if we're not experiencing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we're not plugged into the right source. Because this is what He gives us. This is what we get to experience from our loving Father. Actually, in John 10:10, it says that He came here to give us life. I think a lot of our reality is that we believe that God came to give us heaven. And so, get saved so we can go to heaven, which is after you die, instead of this reality that God came so we can have life and have it to the full right now, that we could have these things. When I'm not experiencing joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control and love, it's because I'm reaching to the wrong source. So verse 6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and it withers, and the branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and are burned." Without our connection, we die. Verse 7, it says, "If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done." What are His words and how can we abide in them? Like, what is, and this is the beauty of what Daniel did last week. Like, God has given us this richness that we war from. See, we try to fight out of our own strength and our own ability instead of from the actual words that God has given us. And see, if we're abiding in the Word, if we're believing what the Word is saying about us and to us, then it changes our motivation. And then when we ask, it's done. Verse 8, and it says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples." One of the questions that we talked about last week when I was at this other church is, you know, this reality of kind of once saved, always saved, which I'm not going to get into other than the idea of the seed. There's a parable of the sower, and there's four different soils that these seeds fall down on. The only difference between the four, the first three, I would say, even though two of those three had growth, I would say that all three of those didn't know the Father. And the only thing that differentiated the others was that there was fruit. There is no toasted bread in our life outside of our connection to the Father. There is no fruit in our life outside of our connection. And He wants us to bear fruit because that brings glory to the Father. Verse 9, it says, "And the Father, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." I mean, do we get the reality of what He's saying? He's saying, God the Father loved me perfectly. And I'm going to mimic that perfect love that He loved the Son to us, His children. I think this is partly why we get off track. We forget the reality of His love for us. We forget that even in our mess, even when we feel unconnected, that God the Father, through God the Son, is loving us. Verse 10. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandment and abide in his love." See, it's hard to abide in something that you don't know. See, I have this little example. You cannot stay in a house where you do not know where it's at. Like, this is my whole reality of today, where I want you to be in the last verse, and then we're going to move into our next thing. Let me read this, and then I'm going to finish that thought. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Where is your connection? Where are you abiding? What truth are you standing on about yourself? What reality? Because there's a reality that is just hovering around me, that wants to speak failure over me, that wants to speak, you know, this, you know, things aren't going to work out. You're going to be in that middle school forever, which is okay. But that's not the Father speaking to one of His sons. And so what I would like to do today is I want us to reevaluate our connection. I would love for us, in spite of how we feel at this moment, to just take a few minutes and readjust where we're standing. We're going to end our service with communion. Let me just explain communion, and then I want to give us some awkward silence. I know that's painful when it comes to church, and you know, people are like, it's not the moment. I was going to say something really inappropriate, and I'm not. Thank you, Holy Spirit. gone. Okay, let me just explain. If you're new here, you've never done communion with us, and I want us to linger before we go to communion. Here's what's going to happen. Here in a few minutes, I'm going to pray and kind of lead us into taking communion. But we have a table that's set up in this back corner, and on the table there's a plate, and on the plate there's little pieces of bread, and in the center of that plate with the bread on it, there is juice. And we do our communion through what's called intinction. I know a word you've never heard before. I don't think I heard it until I was explained it before we started this process. And what that means is you're going to go to the table when you're ready, and you're going to grab a piece of bread, and you're going to dip it in the juice. And you may take it alone, have a moment of silence. You may go as a family, get it together, kind of pray together, or you could get it, come back to your seat, and take it there. That is completely up to you. But here's the reality. God knew that we would forget what he's done for us. And Jesus established this pattern so that we would be reminded. And so before you go to the table, I just want you to be reminded that it is his finished work on the cross that allows us a connection to the Father. And so if there's things going on in you, if you're overwhelmed, if you wallowed in it for the last month, for the last day, for the last 6 months, and right now you're under the realization that this isn't helping me, I don't like where I'm at, Jesus is the answer. The Holy Spirit is the connection. I feel weird that this isn't connected as I'm talking about. So I'm going to reconnect it. Don't stick your fingers in there later, or a fork while it's on. It's dangerous. I know you don't. You know that, but I just want to tell you anyway. And so what I would like to do is I'm going to pray, and we're just going to open up the Holy Spirit to speak. Look, we have gone through this. God has given us this person to live inside of us that will lead us into life, is constantly trying to lead us into life. And one of the dangers of the culture that we live in right now is that it is very loud. It is with TV and radio, literally with your computer sitting in your pocket in this smartphone. I mean, everything is just right at your fingertips, and we can be so distracted. And so what I'm going to do is Caleb's going to come up, and he's going to play a little bit in the background. But we're going to just sit here for a few minutes. I'm going to let it be silent. I just encourage you, after I pray, just to ask God, what is the truth that you're connected to? Like, are you connected to the purpose and destiny that God has for you through the vine? Are you not? And if you're not, the simplest way to fix all that is having a conversation with a loving Father that from the beginning has called you into his kingdom, that has grafted you into his vine. And just ask, cry out. I mean, it is okay. And so after a few minutes of silence, I'm going to pray for us, and then I'll release you to take communion, and then we will do our last worship song, and just see what God has for us. So if you will, if you'll just close your eyes to get rid of distractions, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to just linger here for a minute, and then I'll lead us into communion. Dear me, Father, it is almost always our issue. It is almost always us that is pulling out of the life that you've given us. And so, Lord, I have to believe that there are people in this room right now that are just in the mess, or that are just overwhelmed by life and overwhelmed by their own decisions of connecting to a reality that doesn't have you in it. And Lord, I just pray that as we're silent, Lord, before we even think about taking communion, Lord, that we make things right with us. Lord, I just declare right now that life comes from you alone. And Lord, I just lay at your feet right now, Lord, all of my own excuses. Lord, all the excuses that are sitting here for why we are not where we should be, connected to you. And Lord, I just pray that you would use these few minutes to silence the lie that's keeping us from you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak. Lord, I pray that you would move in power. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help us experience the joy and the peace and the patience and the self-control and the gentleness. Lord, I pray that we would see fruit from our connection with you. And Lord, I pray that you would let us see our own stupidity that constantly wants to do things our way. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit just to have his way with us over these next few minutes. And if there's someone in this room that is never connected to the Father and has felt so far away because of their own behavior, because of their own lifestyle, because of their life, Lord, I pray that right now, Lord, that they would come to the realization that you have come to set them free from that. Lord, you didn't come here to have people clean themselves, but you came here so that you would clean us, that you would give us your righteousness. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be power as we call on your name, that we ask for life. And so, Lord, as we sit here for just a minute or two and just allow you some active voice, Lord, I pray that you would have the power to speak clearly to us. Thank you, Father. Just keep your eyes closed for one more second. I'm going to read a section of scripture to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Dear Heavenly Father, it is your body and your blood that gives us freedom. And Lord, as we approach your table, as we approach your sacrifice, Lord, I pray that we would wash away this desire in us to make us right. Lord, I pray that we would come to terms with the reality that your body and your blood has done exactly what is necessary to have what you desire for us to have. And so, Lord, I pray as we approach the table, as we consume elements that were purchased at a local grocery store, that you would do the divine here. That you would help us see, Lord, the sacrifice that you have made for us, the lengths that you would go to make us one with you. That you would put on skin, that you would come and live in our mess, that you would walk our roads, that you would experience life, and that you would do it exactly how it was intended to. And Lord, that you would willingly give yourself up to a wicked people, allowed yourself to be nailed to a cross. Lord, you didn't do those things so that we could walk around broken, that we could walk around joyless, that we could walk around with anxiety. Lord, you did those things so we could have life. And so, Lord, as we approach your table and as we consume the elements, Lord, I pray that there would be life that would be poured into us. Lord, that we would get rid of this idea that we have any part of our righteousness, that you have done everything necessary for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open the table. Lord, that you would bring life from it, that you would just bring a newness, a freshness. Lord, I pray as families gather together and consume the elements together, Lord, that they would just be a joy. And Lord, I pray that you would take natural things and you would make them special and holy for us today. So Lord, thank you for your desire and your willingness to come to us. And Lord, I pray that whatever's spoken today to your children, Lord, it would be heard and believed louder than any lie that they've listened to for years. So thank you for your love that endures. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that you pour out on us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time as we remember what you've done for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.